Hello and welcome to the Poetry Exchange. I'm Michael Schaefer.
And I'm Fiona Bennett.
Lovely to be back with you. We've got another conversation from our time at Manchester Central Library for you this month. And it's a Joe Shapcott poem theme, a poet that I'm afraid to say I wasn't familiar with until meeting this poem.
Indeed, and it was wonderful to have this Joe Shapcott poem brought in and the story which you'll hear within the conversation about how the poem was discovered. It's great to be featuring Joe's work on the podcast. I'm sure many of our listeners will be familiar with her work. She's been a big inspiration for lots of young writers, a fabulous teacher, a phenomenal poet, winner of many prizes, including the Forward, I think the Costa Book Award perhaps as well, and a National Poetry Competition winner. So Michael, I think we should crack on with it.
Terrific. So you're going to be hearing myself and Fiona talking about Of Mutability, the poem that's been a friend to Hannah.
So have you...
I do have a poem.
You've got a friend with you.
Incredibly like tattered copy, which I thought I'd bring because it's quite funny.
Because it's beautiful.
This is...
Great.
Would you mind reading it out loud for us?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Too many of the best cells in my body are itching, feeling jagged, turning raw in this spring chill. It's 2004 and I don't know a soul who doesn't feel small among the numbers. Razor small. Look down these days to see your feet mistrust the pavement and your blood tests turn the doctor's expression grave. Look up to catch eclipses, gold leaf, comets, angels, chandeliers out of the corner of your eye. Join them if you like. Learn astrophysics or learn folk song, human sacrifice, mortality, flying, fishing, sex without touching much. Don't trouble, though, to head anywhere but the sky.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. Hannah, you've got this fabulous sort of slightly battered looking copy of Joe Shapcott's collection with a bit of silver gaffer tape down the spine. That would suggest to me that that this is quite a well used...
it's been about a bit.
So it's quite well summed. Mm. When did you first...
So I guess I was like 17, so about 7 years ago.
Did somebody give it to you? How did you come across
I think Joe's I found work? It just sort of in a Blackwell's when I was waiting for a train. And I just sort of opened it and was like, yes, I'll take this.
And why this poem? Tell us about this poem.
I can already feel like I'm...
It's okay.
So at the moment at which I kind of like found it and found like this particular poem, I was 17, and you know, you can feel in it the sort of like the representation of cancer and stuff. At that exact moment, my dad had just been diagnosed with cancer. And I think it was like in this moment of real loneliness and like being like young and trying to understand things, which is what drew me so like entirely to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he recovered, it's fine, but I think it was just this like not really knowing who to turn to or who to talk to, and for that reason, in a very literal sense, it became a friend to me when I didn't really know like who my friends were and like how to talk about anything. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much for... that you opened that book in that shop at that moment.
Yeah, what are the chances?
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, were you generally in the habit of opening poetry books in shops and having a look at them, or...?
A little, but not loads. I think I developed it kind of because of this, you know.
Yeah, how amazing.
Committing to something like a random search.
So this was around the time your dad was diagnosed.
Yeah.
It must have been incredible to take that book off a shelf, not even looking for anything, and this is the first poem in the book.
Yeah, the very first one, yeah.
So you would open the book and
I've
it would
just
be...
I've just got a bit funny.
Yeah, it would be there for you, you know.
Gosh.
Can you remember what that made you kind of think in the moment?
It was like a moment of recognition, and it took me maybe another month to realise that this kind of like stream of like illness and cancer runs through the entire book. Mm. It was almost like I didn't realise that that's what she was saying, but I felt it sort of quite immediately. Mm. And I think also there's like a lot of moments of, you know, the very simple recognition that you have when you first meet a poem and you're like, oh yeah, I can feel that. And in a very literal sense, there was stuff like I was about to start a physics degree as well. And, you know, like was just kind of like working out all these things about myself. And it was these little like moments of seeing something in that. And then it kind of just like digested really slowly, I think. Mm. And that kind of sense of not giving up hope, like hope is still there and hope is so loud through the whole collection. Mm-hmm. And that it was like, you know, remember, always look up.
Yeah, and that it's look up to see magical things, beautiful things, isn't it? Look up to catch eclipses, gold leaf comets, angels, chandeliers out of the corner of your eye.
Learn astrophysics. I just wonder, I may be jumping very far here, but whether you've shared this poem with anybody else?
Yeah, slowly. It took me like 4 years before I was like willing to. At one point I walked a bit of the Camino, and I remember taking it with me and never telling anyone, and then like we'd go sit in our bunks and I would just kind of like read it and then put it away again, which is, you can see why it's so like ruined for that reason. And then sort of like very slowly kind of like shared it, but in a very like, you can't criticise it. You can't take it away from me. I had this complicated thing with a friend that was, you know, a bit of a nightmare, and like I'd already kind of shared that, and we'd always like say this line to each other, and it took a long time to accept that it could still be mine. Even if it wasn't like just mine.
You've just spoken very, very movingly there about the business of sharing something that's become very...
We have that sense of ownership over it.
Yeah,
it's kind of
we do.
Precious and...
Yeah. So...
And almost like on the other hand, you can't like it too much because it can't be like your thing.
Because it's my thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like quite selfish.
That's so funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you said that it had been around a bit, but I didn't realise you were going to say that it had been along the Camino, which is amazing, isn't it? How long was that after you'd found it?
About a year.
Right, okay.
I think at that point it was sort of like another moment of uncertainty. And
tell me about the walking. How was that?
It was, wonderful. Mm. Just that nice kind of like suddenly having a fully different rhythm to your life, even if it's like a temporary one. And exploring how other people felt and talking and being alone and just kind of like being consumed in a doing was a very moving part of it.
Mm. Did it give you what you hoped it would?
I think so, yeah. Like, and now whenever I'm feeling particularly rough, I just kind of do something that's a bit like sort of distance myself from everyone and just do something short term, but like very committed to a place and a difference from my normal life.
Yeah.
Because that taught me that you can like reconnect with yourself in that kind of way.
You mentioned that there's a line that you and your friend would,
is it the
last line?
Yeah.
Don't trouble though to head anywhere but the sky.
Yeah. And we had matching badges of it and stuff.
Did you?
Yeah. Because I used to run this like craftivism group. It was like activism through craft. So it's like ample access to a badge maker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that's good. And can you tell me a bit more about what that line came to mean for you? I mean, presumably it sort of took on its own significance as a line sort of almost outside of the poem, perhaps.
I think it's both like very outside of the poem and like very in the poem itself in that sense of move and move up and don't trouble yourself too much with like what's going on down here. If you need something higher and you're aiming for something higher, but also like it's, you can't aim for one specific thing in the sky, really. You just aim for the sky in general. Mm-hmm. And I think like that feeling of what do you do when you don't know what you're doing is that line, and is also that kind of the whole poem.
So this is, I'm getting a sense that this poem has, you know, you first came across it when your dad was ill. How long after that moment did he recover?
I think it took maybe 7 or 8 months.
Okay. And it feels like it's come to kind of have a place in your life of whenever there's uncertainty going on, this poem somehow helps to guide you almost.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I'm at my best, I'm most driven by like a curiosity and a joy in the sort of the many things that happen. Whenever I'm lost, it's often because I'm not looking up. It's because I'm too focused on like the sort of minutia. Yeah. So it's become like a symbol to move away from that minutia and out into like a bigger thing, I guess.
Mm. I love that.
Mm. What does that next set of lines mean for you? It's 2004 and I don't know a soul who doesn't feel small among the numbers.
I think it's kind of like a symbol of the not aloneness of it, that to feel desperately small and insignificant is not a unique feeling, and you don't have to be lonely in that. Although she's kind of saying it, I suppose, in a more like it's... That's like sort of like a negative that we all feel like that, but I suppose there's still a hope in that as well, that you're not kind of like isolated.
2004 and these days, that's what I'm just curious about, what that... It's a very specific moment in time, isn't it, that she's talking about?
I think it is. I think that... So this was released, I think, in 2010, and she, at that point, was clear from cancer, and it's looking back on that kind of time, and I think it was around, like, 6 or 7 years before, so that would put it, I guess, right there.
There is that incredible thing when life-threatening illness is close to us or in our own situation, that your relationship to the idea of the here and now and the date and everything is amplified into something.
I think that the fact that I can really like say exactly when I found it is kind of a real indication of that.
Yes,
absolutely. There's some extraordinary things in this list. Learn astrophysics or learn folk song. Human sacrifice. Feels like a strange one to be in there. Mortality, flying, fishing. Sex without touching much, again, makes me go, How do they sit for you?
I suppose I've always kind of interpreted that as that kind of, like, cut your hair and get a piercing to deal with your problems kind of thing. You know, like, like amplifying, like, strange and like, liberating things that you can do if you want.
Kind of something beyond the realms of the normal
kind
of boundaries of day-to-day stuff in a way.
And yet somehow, like, especially with like sex without touching much, very much in it. It's not like the answer is just like, I don't know, sex with a lot of touching. You know, like it's kind of this thing where it's like you're doing something not because it's the ultimate happy, like comfortable thing. And it's more about like, I don't know, moving outwards from yourself. In a sense, I guess. Yeah.
It's not the list that you might expect, is it? I mean, it's kind of wide-ranging. Mm. And it's not, I think, as you're saying, it's not the typical list of wonderful things that we can, you know, that are on our bucket list.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's not just like smell the roses, take a long bath, you know, like it's...
See the pyramids.
So it's quite a playful list, I think.
Yeah.
So do you, aside from putting it in your rucksack and taking it along the Camino with you, how does it, I mean, do you get it out very often? Is it just in your head? Is it something you read? Is it something you say out loud? What's your way of being with it, I guess?
I think I get it out like fairly often. There's definitely lines that stick in my head at times.
And what are those particular phrases or lines that tend to be close to you?
I mean, I'm looking now and I feel like it's quite a lot of them. The very first line, I think, is definitely kind of like knocks about quite often.
It's brilliant, that first line.
Yeah.
Too many of the best cells in my body are itching, feeling jagged, turning raw in this spring chill. I don't know, there's something about that. It's just... terrific. I mean, rhythmically, I think it's wonderful, but the too many of the best cells. Something
yeah,
about that.
It's incredible.
But then that second line is so visceral.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It really conjures that physical experience, doesn't it?
Mm.
And I guess when you do find yourself maybe either saying those words or hearing it, what does it give you to sort of tune into that, if you like?
I think it's like, especially when there are lines that are in the first half, it's like a reminder to check in with myself, you know? If it's kind of like suddenly like there, I'm like, oh, you should like see how you are.
Great. So it's almost like a little nudge to yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely.
And then it's wonderful because it kind of gives you a little bit of the prescription in the second stanza, doesn't it? Of, you know, you could kind of go, okay, so what do I need to do here then? Is it about learning fishing? Have you ever been fishing?
I haven't, actually.
No, not yet.
Not yet. I'm working through it.
Yeah.
We always ask people if they could characterise what kind of a friend the poem has been to them, and you've talked about that a bit, but I just wondered if you could kind of name what that is for you.
I guess there's a sense in which it the friend that it is the friend that's inside of yourself. Like, I think I really found it the moment in which I realised that I had to be a friend to myself, and it kind of like became that friend. Or like became that reminder to be that friend.
Of mutability. Too many of the best cells in my body are itching, feeling jagged, turning raw in this spring chill. It's 2004 and I don't know a soul who doesn't feel small among the numbers. Razor small. Look down these days to see your feet mistrust the pavement and your blood tests turn the doctor's expression grave. Look up to catch eclipses, gold leaf, comets, angels, chandeliers out of the corner of your eye. Join them if you like. Learn astrophysics or learn folk song, human sacrifice, mortality, flying, fishing, sex without touching much. Don't trouble, though, to head anywhere but the sky.
That was Fiona with the gift reading at the end there. Our thanks to Faber and Faber for their permission in using this poem, as well as to Joe Shapcott and to Hannah for allowing us to use the conversation. Really great to meet Hannah. Fantastic young woman, really enjoyed the conversation, and I liked her, what she was saying about how her approach to finding poems is kind of quite random, and she manages to land upon these amazing poems. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think if you do go at it that way, as it were, I think the poems find you, don't they? That's what seemed to be going on for her. And I think that's wonderful. I did hear another story.
Oh, yeah.
About a poem finding, a person finding us, actually, a person finding the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, story of two people driving across Ireland, go past a lake with an island in the middle of it. And one says to the other, oh, look, it's a bit like the Lake Isle of Innisfree. Do you think it is the Lake Isle of Innisfree? And the other person says, what are you talking about, the Lake Isle of Innisfree? And they say, well, you know, the poem. And they say, no, I don't know. So then the person who knows says, I'll just Google it for you, Googles, and comes across the Poetry Exchange podcast and says, oh, look, here's the poem and here's something else. Let's put it on. And started playing the episode featuring the Lake Isle of Innisfree whilst driving across Ireland.
That's terrific.
So our thanks to all of you who have found us in the various and many ways that you have. It's fantastic to know that you're there. It's been brilliant to be getting some messages from people lately via Twitter and the website and so on. If you do want to nominate a poem that's been a friend to you and you're not able to come and find us at one of the events we're doing, it's always possible to tell us via the website. There's a nominate page there. Obviously, it's not the same as actually meeting in person and having the full conversation, but it is great to hear from people far and wide and to just know about those poems. So do send one in.
If you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps. And share on Twitter and retweet and things like that.
So wherever you are and whatever time of day it is with you, wishing you a peaceful rest of the day. And we look forward to being back next month with more Poems as Friends. And until then, thank you for listening.